Or makes the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Pass it over, Mordechai. I need it. Pass it over. Part of what makes the Rambam such an interesting sefer is because he's not writing a commentary to Shas, certain dafim and sugyos, he's writing about Torah, so he maps out Torah. 14 svarim, each sefer has several subsections. So many of them are pretty parallel to Masechtos. Ishos is pretty similar to Masechas Kiddushin. Hilchos Gerushin in the Rambam is pretty similar to Masechas Gittin. Doesn't take a genius to see that connection. Hilchos Sanhedrin is pretty similar to Masechas Sanhedrin. But the Rambam creates topics that don't have structured, centralized conversation in Shas. So, for example, Hilchos Malachim, the laws of Jewish politics, laws of Gentiles. There isn't a Masechta like that. He collects information, he graphs information, he synthesizes information. One of them is Hilchos Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva is one of the five sections of Mada. Mada is the first sefer. Of course, for the Rambam, Mada doesn't mean, as some people use it today, secular knowledge. Mada means theology, whatever philosophy a Jew has to believe in. There are five sections. Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the basics of Torah, a Jewish belief. Avodah Zarah, the laws of Akum, the laws of paganism. Hilchos Talmud Torah, as you see, Talmud Torah is not just a mitzvah, but it's part of theology, understanding Hashem. Hilchos Deos, human improvement, because human improvement for a Jew is not just driven by a moral prerogative or a social contract. Human improvement is driven by the desire to be like Hashem. You don't want to be like Hashem. So the way you do that primarily is becoming a better person. Softer, sweeter, a bigger Baal Chesed, more kind, as they become like the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And then the Hilchos Tshuva, which is one of the five sections of Mada. And we're Mirtz Hashem going to speak about Tshuva over the next couple, 2 weeks. And we'll try to begin each year with a little bit of Rambam. We use the Rambam as a springboard. How many prakim are there in Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam? 10. So I recommend it to you that you buy Ala Tshuva. And you start learning Ala Tshuva, which is a great, great baseline in English on repentance to prepare yourself for Yom. I really read that the first 5 years of my yeshiva experiences. Another nice recommendation, which is a minhag in certain places in Am Yisrael, was each day of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, read one parak of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Not that hard. Rambam's language is pretty straightforward. Spend maybe 20, 25 minutes, you should be able to do it. The thing is, you got to get on your horse early, because the first day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva is Rosh Hashanah. You don't know that it's already Aseret Yemei Tshuva because it's Rosh Hashanah. So you're busy dipping your apple and listening to the shofar, and it's already the first day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Then you wake up and it's Shabbos and it's Sunday. Oh, I'm 4 prakim behind. You know, you toss it in the can because you're never going to make it up anyway. But if you want to, it's a nice minhag to be at least familiar with the Rambam. So today we'll talk about Halacha Aleph of the Rambam, but we won't talk about what he says. We'll talk about what he doesn't say. Sometimes you can learn more about what someone doesn't say. The Rambam writes, Hilchos Tshuva, Parak Aleph, Kol Mitzvos Tshuva Torah, Bein Esei, Bein Lo Tasei, Im Avar Adam Alachas Mem, if a person violates them, Kishe Yaseh Tshuva, when you get around to performing Tshuva, Chayiv Adam, Chayiv Lizvados Lifnei Hakel. At that point, you have to articulate vidui. Now, the Rambam, throughout the entire Mishnah Torah, is very pedantic, very consistent. In the beginning of each halacha, he stipulates the mitzvos that halacha contains, if there are some. There may not be mitzvos in those halachas, but, so for example, the beginning of Ishus, the Rambam articulates the mitzvah to get married, which he believes there's a mitzvah against the rush. Here, the Rambam's articulation is very odd. Kisha Yaseh Tshuva, when you decide to perform Tshuva, pitching Tshuva something voluntary, if you buy into Tshuva, do it this way. Similar, let's say, to the mitzvah to divorce your wife. Is there a mitzvah to divorce your wife? Chalila v'chas. If a person, Rachmana Litzlan, decides to divorce his wife, then he should follow the HaTorah's prescription, and then there's a mitzvah to deliver a Sefer Krisos, Mifnei Edim. So if you decide to do tshuva, then follow these patterns of vidui. Where's the mitzvah of tshuva in the Rambam? Why isn't there a mitzvah? Why doesn't the Rambam say chayav lasos tshuva? So the truth is, the Rambam is reflecting a vacuum in the Torah. There really is no mitzvah in the Torah to do tshuva. Torah describes the great impact of tshuva nationally, personally, the desire for tshuva. Uvikashtem misham. What does the Torah say to tshuva? Big question in Rishonim. Happens to be the Ramban, Parshas Nitzavim, this week's Parsha, interprets the pasuk v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo as the mitzvah of tshuva. He feels as a mitzvah. But it's a coded pasuk. It's not clear. V'shavta may not be a mitzvah. May be other things, which we'll see how the Rambam learns it. V'shavta may not be. It doesn't say tashuv el Hashem. It says, so for example, Ben Zion Hoshea begins Parak Yudalit, Shuva Elai, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta b'avonecha. If that pasuk would be in the Torah, it would be a mitzvah. It happens to be in Hoshea. So it's just Parshas Tshuva Haftarah. Shabbos Tshuva Haftarah. So the question is not on the Rambam. The question is really on the Torah. Why is the Torah not providing a mitzvah? And if it does, it's coded. For our intents and purposes, it's the same reality. Whether there is or isn't a mitzvah, there isn't a pasuk that's explicit. So why does the Torah camouflage the mitzvah? So here's the answer. It's a whole new way of thinking. And of course, all these shiurim are based on the Rav and Ala Tshuva, and this is pretty clear in the Rav's Ala Tshuva. I'm just amplifying. There's a shita on the Gaonim that there's no mitzvah to believe in Hashem. What? There's no mitzvah to believe in Hashem? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. How did the Gaonim say that? The answer is, imagine a beehive of 613 cells. But then there are some parts of the beehive that are so foundational and so structural, it can't be one cell or one part of the honeycomb. Believe in Hashem? It's a pre-mitzvah. It's a seminal mitzvah. It's a mega mitzvah. It's a meta mitzvah. It's without belief, the whole system falls apart. Well, the language of the Mechilta, Kodem Tekablu Malchusai, Achar Kach Tekablu Gzerosai, I mean, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. There's a mitzvah not to wear shatnez. Now, obviously, all of Hashem's logic is integrated, so at some level, the two pollinate each other. But essentially, at least experientially, as human beings, the two are autonomous. If you wear shatnez while you're eating matzah, in no way you're not devaluing the matzah. Again, at some deeper level you are. It's only obedience-wise you're suffering. But inherently, the matzah and shatnez are standalone. They don't in any way innervate or infuse each other. But belief, if you eat matzah without belief in Hashem, for the same reason, to a degree, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is camouflaged in the Torah. Where is there a pasuk in the Torah that says you should learn Torah? You may be thinking about psukim such as V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla, but where does that appear? Tehillim. I'm sorry, Yeshua. All the psukim about learning day and night are not in the Torah. Why not? Because it's obvious. You can't be a Jew without learning Torah. You won't know what to practice. You won't understand Hashem. You won't have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So obvious halachos or obvious pre-mitzvos don't always get the same airtime. Like telling you when you come to yeshiva, we gave you a set of ground rules and guidelines. Eli Weber began where you can travel, where you can. He didn't say, don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to open your eyes in the morning. Don't forget to blow your nose. They're obvious. They're starting points. It would be ridiculous to even state them because that would diminish their importance. So that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is not an experience of improvement limited to 40 days a year. It's not limited on either front. It's not limited time-wise, schedule-wise, and it's not just improvement. Tshuva is a glimmer. What's it a glimmer of? When you're looking at tshuva, you're looking at something much more radiant, but you're just catching a glimmer of it. What is tshuva really reflective of? The essence of human identity. What do you possess that no other creature in this world, including angels, what do you possess? Consciousness and freedom of choice. Hashem empowered you and embedded you with the ability to make decisions. No other element of this cosmos, nothing natural, nothing supernatural, angels don't have a will. Human beings are possessed with will and consciousness to make decisions. And that you employ on a minute-by-minute basis. It's hotwired to your identity. And from a religious standpoint, you're always attempting to employ freedom of choice to discover new religious moments and new religious experiences. There's actually a great article I read yesterday in the Times by a professor of philosophy, I think in MIT, or really well written. I'll share it with you if you want. It's a little bit highbrow in the language, but if you cut through the grandiose language, really good point. Basically, two types of experience, telic experiences and atelic experiences. Basically, some experiences that are geared towards an endpoint. You want to finish the experience to get to a certain goal. Then there are experiences which are atelic, which says, well, just the experience itself is worthwhile, like family. Spending time with family is not an experience so that you can reach the endpoint and you don't want to finish it. You just want to spend time with your wife. You want to spend time with your children. And just the ultimate atelic experience is, I'm not looking to finish any real part of the relationship. I'm never going to finish Torah on the experience itself. And if you try to apply that whole dichotomy to the modern world, that was very, very well written. Again, the term's a little bit too philosophical, I think, for many people. But, and again, it's based on ancient philosophical dichotomies. But I'll share it with you, because it's an interesting read if you want to take a look at it. So every day you're making decisions. You're entering decisions. Now, the hardest decision in life is not about whom to marry, or what job, or which yeshiva to attend. I know that took a lot of guts out of last year. You're still recovering from that one. The hardest decision, seriously, is to turn the looking glass inside and inward and discover yourself and probe yourself and change yourself. That ability to step outside your own consciousness and view yourself and judge yourself and talk to yourself and have an inner dialogue that you're sensitive to, that's a great skill. If you have that ability to know yourself and to understand the emotions that are convulsing over you and the challenges and self-knowledge, self-awareness, emotional intelligence. By the way, when I sit and test boys, that's really something I'm looking for. Again, it's not, admittance isn't based on one factor, but I'm looking at a whole matrix of factors, and I see a boy who's very, very high emotional intelligence, aware of himself, aware of his experiences. I know that boy is going to take in a second to yeshiva. Like, he'll think about himself, think about life. So even if his Gemara skills are a little bit weaker or whatever, background a little bit weaker, it'll make a difference because some total of the growth spurt in yeshiva is going to be enhanced exponentially because of self-awareness and emotional maturity. So tshuva is a reflection of, it's the hardest, it's the most courageous implementation of Bechira Chavshis. It's the hardest thing to accomplish. There are 10 prakim of Hilchas Tshuva. Many of them have nothing to do with tshuva. And have everything to do with freedom of choice. Famous Rambam, Hilchas Tshuva. You take a look at it if you don't get a chance to see all of them, but just you should know it exists. Perek Hey, Halach Aleph. Rishus Nisuna L'chol Adam. Everyone has full opportunity. Imratza L'hatos Atzma L'derech Tova. You can choose the proper path, and you can be a tzaddik. Imratza L'hatos Atzma L'derech Ra V'lios Rasha. And then the Rambam continues, a very, very famous Rambam. Okay, let me see if I can find the exact words of the Rambam. Not only do you have freedom of choice, it actually says somewhere that you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, maybe not any longer because you've compromised some of that ability. But he says, Derech Ra, Derech Tova. Here's the freedom of choice. You have unlimited freedom of choice. Every single one of you was born with Moshe capacity. Perhaps that potential has long since been buried. You no longer have Moshe capacity. Even if you spent every single waking moment, you would never reach the Moshe level. But in theory, you could have had Moshe Rabbeinu experiences. It's not just freedom of choice. It's unlimited freedom of choice. You're living in a world today which has become very, very, it presents an appearance of rigidity for many reasons and for many fronts. And part of what I want you to realize in Hilchos Tshuva is not just the change and transformation and renewal of the next 40 days, but to empower yourselves to say, you know, your life will make a difference in the decisions you make morally and historically and where you live and whether you're a Bentara. It's very much an open-ended book, and an unknown road, and you may feel very, very diminished in a world that seems very large and unchangeable, but it's not that way. People change the world. Individuals make these changes, and we've been highlighting some of the people who completely altered the landscape of Torah, whether it was Rav or Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, or the Rama, or Varon Cutler, or Varon Lichtenstein, whatever. So, and people who made a difference in history. So, don't feel as if Bechira Chavshis is only given to you so that when you pass by the non-kosher pizza store, you'll make the right decision, although it's that as well. It's also about the grand decisions that you can dedicate yourself in life to making significant changes. But it starts at home. A lot of people are very, very adept at changing the world, but maybe less skilled at changing themselves. Always be careful. You want to change the world, first change yourself. And it's harder. Believe me, a lot harder. It's easy to change the world. It's a lot harder to change yourself. That's why so many people, unfortunately, who we see are supposedly great leaders, and they are, do great things, and then we realize that maybe internally in their own lives. Always start from within. Always be inside out. If you can't control yourself, don't try to control others. If you can't restrain yourself, don't try to restrain others. If you can't follow your own agendas, don't try to suggest them for others, because that's just an offset that renders all your work hypocritical. Be a good person, and then if you have opportunity, try to make other people into great people, but first make sure you're a good person. So we'll talk a lot of Mitzvah Shem about tshuva, but the Rambam does not count tshuva as a mitzvah. That doesn't diminish its importance. If anything, that augments it. It's more important, not less important. Okay? Okay. Quick share today.